Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Is this that song that Mark Wahlberg and John C. Reilly sang at the end of Boogie Nights? Like when they kind of went from adult film stars to rock stars?
I don't know.
Or was that Heat? Watch this.
This is
Heat will rock you.
This is Little River Band, isn't it?
It's Mark Wahlberg.
This was John the C. song Reilly. That was being played in The Godfather. Remember when Tom Godfather. Went to the little bordello because the congressman had a bad incident there?
Yes, I do.
He said, it's good to have friends. This was planned.
I don't know that this was in Godfather. I'll go back and rewatch the picture.
It was on his iPhone.
In fact, I ought to rewatch it if we're going to talk about it every single day.
Well, it just came out. So we have to break it down.
All right.
That was
Ryan Kelly Morning After on the only.
Here we are.
What? Did I just hear the words of the Plowhawk?
Yeah, that was the
Plows, are you there?
The Babies is the band.
Oh, it was?
And did you verify that it was, in fact, in The Godfather?
I'll look into it.
So, yeah, it was on Tom Hagen's
was
iPhone.
It?
As he walked into the bordello, one of the senators, congressmen, had a bad incident.
Right.
What happened to him?
Tim?
That's all they said. He had a bad incident. Okay.
Brian Felt of the St. Louis Business Journal is with us. We're broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios here on the all-new 590 The Fan KFNS and InsideSTL.com. Plus, if you have HD radio, you're listening to us on 105.7 FM, HD2. So, Doug, we're at Kirkwood Brewhouse. It opens now in less than 8 hours, 4 p.m., and people are just going to sit up here and have scotch and talk about the good old days. And
now, the sign out here says it opens at 5.
It opens at 4.
Well, but look at the sign right
it
there.
It says it opens at 5 Eastern, ass.
It doesn't say Eastern.
Thank you, Stoles.
It says 5.
Why you got to yell at us, man?
Well, the sign. I'm looking right at the sign.
Yeah, look in parentheses, EDT.
Open today at 5 p.m. And you're telling me 4.
Right. What 5 time? Eastern.
Okay. You think that's a problem? You think when we see somebody says be here at a certain time, we should assume they mean Eastern time?
We thought it would be the right way to start off the business by telling people it opens at 4, but it'll really open at 5 so they can wait in line out in the cold.
Oh, I got it.
See?
It's just
and then people drive by and they'll go, ooh, there's a line to get in. Psychology, bitch.
Right. It shouldn't make them mad that it's going to be 15 degrees out there and they can stand in line and wait an hour because you told them 4 and he says it's 5.
And look at Stoles. He's going out there right now to change it to 4. Look at the impact you've already had.
Well, yes, you need to get it together. You need to sync up.
Watch this. Pull it together, boy. Pull it together, boy. Pull it together, boy. Pull it together, boy.
Now 4.
See, that's how business is done.
Yep.
You just did it.
Yep.
Just erase the chalk and
it hit Stoles like a bolt of lightning.
Sometimes in business you find a fluid situation. And you got to be able to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was the right thing in the board meeting to list all of our times Eastern.
Okay, and it's created some confusion now.
Brian Felt of the St. Louis Business Journal is on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, and he joins us right now. Brian, good morning.
Morning, guys. So is it 4 or 5? I can't tell.
It's 4.
It's 4.
It's 4.
It's on the big board now. It's 4.
It's 5 Eastern, but it's 4 Central.
Thank you. Give it a look.
Thank you very much,
2
Brian.
O'clock
Appreciate
Pacific.
It. Doug's killing the business already. Hey, you were covering the teleconference yesterday with MLS Commissioner Garber, and it seemed like if there's one thing to take away from it, from my perspective anyway, is this whole thing is going to come down to the vote in St. Louis, and if it doesn't pass, that's that. Is that fair or too aggressive, or would you say that's on the money?
I think that's fair, and I think that's pretty much what the ownership group SCL has said all along, and you know they've said that they want to build this $200 million stadium, but they're not going to be able to do it with you know completely their own money. So they need the public's input. Therefore, that April vote, which would be as you guys know, the $80 million on behalf of the city, which kind of inadvertently also plays a role in whether or not the state will be able to contribute another $40 million to the effort. You know, it's going to be crucial to building the stadium in their eyes. And, you know, not only would it not – would it make the financing unstable for the stadium, but it would also, you know, somewhat show the MLS that maybe St. Louis isn't as soccer crazy as they initially thought.
Well, they're obviously going to have to reach out to folks who aren't necessarily – rabid soccer fans. What's your opinion on something like that? Will there be enough revenue produced that will trickle down to everyone where you think you can get people on board that otherwise aren't necessarily soccer fans?
Well, I wouldn't say. I mean, so these stadiums, as we know, when we went through this whole NFL fiasco that unfolded over the last few years, these stadiums aren't big cash-generating venues. Even the ownership group doesn't plan on making their money back for some time. I haven't seen their exact financing plan, but they've said they won't be making their money back right away. I'm sure it'll generate some revenue. Whether or not that's enough to cover the city's portion, I guess that remains to be seen, and that's something that I would hope that the city would put out before the vote comes out in April, and I'm sure we will see that once the ballot initiative gets finalized.
Do you think there's an appetite for something like this among the regular folks in St. Louis?
I think certainly with soccer fans, it's a no-brainer. You know, people want to see the MLS in town. They want to have a soccer team, and they're probably going to vote yes. But there's another portion of the community here that, rightly so, probably feels burned by the NFL and all of that public financing that went through. That wasn't exactly the most forthright effort. A lot of things were going on kind of behind the scenes, and we didn't know exactly what was happening at all times. So the fact that they have to come back around again to ask for more money, it's going to go to a vote. I think some people are probably spurned by the fact that the NFL left, and they're going to, you know, try to make their voices heard by voting no on this referendum. So I think it's going to be pretty close, and I think that the ownership group and the city are going to have to do a good job of educating the public on exactly their vision for this plan, the benefits that it'll be to the public. And I'm sure they're thinking of that right now so they can enter 2017 on the right foot.
There was the second group that offered to pay that $80 million and were turned down. You think if the voters say, no thanks, we don't want to chip in public money, that second group might be let back into the fold to try to save the project?
Yeah, that certainly didn't help SCSDL, and you know, I've spoken with Jim Cavanaugh several times, and he said that's hurt their efforts. As far as I can tell, they've done some preliminary vetting. I think SCSDL has said that Major League Soccer has done the most vetting on Foundry, and I'm not exactly sure what they've come back with, but whatever it is, they're not going with the Foundry's money or the group. So that $80 million is pretty much sitting on the side, whether it was legitimate to begin with or not. But regardless, there's a whole lot of people out there that, you know, that aren't paying attention as much as some of the reporters are here. So they don't know that $80 million may not be legitimate. So they may go to the voting booth in April and say, well, why would I be asked to put up money for this when I heard that there was an $80 million offer on the table and you didn't want to take it just because XYZ reasons? So it certainly didn't help them, and they're going to have to probably go above and beyond to make sure that people know exactly what they think of that offer.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think they're going to have to let people know if it wasn't legitimate. They're going to have to be pretty transparent about it and call the people out who made the offer. If the offer wasn't legit, then it's going to hurt the cause. That's probably going to be something that they're going to have to go for, aren't they? Just to kind of expose that, listen, this was never really a possibility.
I think that really what's going to, you know, what should happen is Major League Soccer should come out and say, here's what we know about this group. So I talked to the SC folks, and they said, hey, this is, you know, they're offering to pay for the city's portion, so the city's going to vet them. Well, the city folks said, well, we're taking our cues from Major League Soccer. So I would like to know where Major League Soccer stands. And, you know, maybe they haven't vetted them at all, and that would be a problem. But also maybe they have vetted them and determined the money's not there, or the person with deep pockets that funding that effort is not somebody we want in the ownership group. I mean, I think it's also worth noting that just because somebody has $80 million doesn't mean Major League Soccer wants them as an owner involved in one of their teams. They're selective of their ownership groups. They've clearly preferred Paul Edgerly, Jim Cavanaugh, Dave Peacock, and the rest of the list that they've supplied. So I think it's probably a little bit of both. I think you know, the $80 million Foundry offer, we're not exactly sure where that money's coming from, so it's a little bit illegitimate. And also, they have the ownership structure that they want here in St. Louis, and they're ready to move forward with them.
If the goal for MLS is to expand and have a team in St. Louis, though, and one group has the money without any public funding being necessary, you'd think they would lean toward that group. So my guess is that the MLS has done some vetting to sort of eliminate that group, wouldn't you think?
I would think, and I certainly would hope so, because I think it's probably going to have to either come out about what they learned about the group, or it's going to come out that they didn't take it into consideration, which would probably be a worst-case scenario. So I would hope, and I would think also that, yes, Major League Soccer has done their vetting on the Foundry group and said, you know what, we're better off going with this other group of owners.
What's your gut feeling on how this will ultimately all play out?
Yeah, you know what, I get that question a lot, and I'm skeptical to say anything anymore because I flip-flop so much during the whole NFL stadium thing, and then my final decision was completely wrong. So I think it's going to be pretty close to 50-50 in terms of the vote. And what'll be interesting to see is what happens during the ownership committee that's going to be overseeing the expansion, how they start to react when we start to learn what exactly the city will do in terms of the vote, and whether or not, if the vote can't go through, if the ownership group can scramble and make something happen. But I think overall, because it's tied, you know, I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but the sales tax hike is also tied to MetroLink expansion and some other services. So my gut feeling is that the tax would pass.
You know, I think the question is, you brought up the fact that there's going to be some people that feel that St. Louis was burned by the NFL and would be opposed to MLS just because they've seen professional sports come here and take and then split town. I do think there's another faction of people who feel like St. Louis needs another professional sports team because it's a big city and we want to show people there's a lot of stuff going on in St. Louis, and it's a place to bring families and businesses or whatever because we're not just the Cardinals and Blues.
I think you're right there, too, and maybe I should clarify my previous stance and say I think there's a lot of people that are spurned by the fact that the public financing that was ultimately approved but obviously never spent on the NFL stadium, that was all done without a public vote, and you have a little bit of the same cast of characters behind the MLS team, namely Dave Peacock, and so maybe there's a little bit of mistrust there. But, yeah, I do agree with you there. I think there's a lot of people in St. Louis that say, listen, we are a big city. We deserve three teams. We can support three teams. I think there's a lot of businesses around St. Louis that also want to see an MLS team come to St. Louis so it can help legitimize St. Louis as a good place to do business. So it's just a lot of moving parts, and it's a little confusing at times. And it'll be interesting to see how both sides react to the messaging that either the city or the ownership group puts out as we head towards April.
Brian Felt of the St. Louis Business Journal joining us here on the Appliances Counter phone lines, discussing the latest from MLS Commissioner Don Garber regarding St. Louis's strategy to get an MLS team here via expansion. Brian, we appreciate the time this morning. Have a great weekend, man.
Yeah, guys, we'll see you at either 4 or 5 p.m. at the
3. Right, that's right.
It's 4 Central.
It's on the big board.
5 Eastern. Yeah. 4 Central, 5
I'm
Eastern.
I'm sorry for the confusion.
Thank you, Brian.
See you guys.
All right, thanks, Brian.
Brian Felt of the St. Louis Business Journal on the MLS Commissioner's teleconference call yesterday.
A lot of people are coming in from the East Coast for the opening tonight, right. So I understand why you want to cover a couple of time zones.
Yeah, that was a strategic move that I really pushed in the board meeting.
There'll be a lot of people getting in from their flights early this afternoon.
Yeah, a lot of people taking cabs in from LaGuardia.
I would think so. Taking cabs down here and be let off here, and they'll pony up. They'll queue up in line and wait for 4 o'clock to get here.
Watch this. The cabs are here. It's funny. It was Paulie D on Jersey Shore in 2009.
Think Tom Brady will be here tonight?
That's good. I don't know. Who are they playing this weekend? Oh, they're in Denver.
Yeah.
Doug, I see we're playing each other in the semifinals, and you're not starting Tom Brady.
Yes, I am.
Well, you had Matt Stafford in there.
I didn't put it there.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Computer glitch.
Yeah, that'd be the stupidest move in the world because Stafford's coming off. He's got a broken finger.
Why don't you break your finger off of me?
Brady right there.
Earlier this week, baby, for real, it was Stafford. I don't know why. I mean, hey, fine with me.
Your running back Rawls only got 5.9 points last night. Not a good start for you.
No, I know. It's trouble. This has happened to you before. Have the best regular season, then you falter in the playoffs. It's part of the game. It's part of the game. Yeah. I have Melvin Gordon. He's hurt. I don't know if he's playing. It's part of the game. Yeah. Hey, listen.
Rodgers is questionable.
Listen, if you don't want to get a bad beat, then my suggestion is don't sit down at the table.
Okay, stay on the sidelines.
Right. If you want to tell me about a two-outer hitting on the river and how bad of a beat it was, you know how you can avoid it? Don't play the game. But that comes with the territory. Injuries are part of the game.
Is that buy-in? Are you talking about buy-in or is that want to?
No, just something a consultant told me to do. I should scream about crap.
All right. Well, I don't like to be yelled at about Tom Brady not starting. I picked Gronkowski first round this year. Got virtually nothing out of him. Nothing. Nothing.
Well, don't look at me with disgust. I had nothing to do with it.
Watched him in past years. I said, now there's a guy who's so significantly better than everybody else at his position. He's worth a first-round pick.
He's a good route runner.
Nothing.
He's a good route runner.
Right. What a wasted pick. If I can pull this off and win this league without a first-round draft pick, it'll just play to the point that I am indeed a personnel guy.
And then when you lose, you just blame it on the computer.
Well, I won it all last year, despite some computer glitches. There's some malware got in there. There must have been
malware that put Stafford in there.
Some sort of Trojan virus that changed my quarterbacks. Good thing I checked.
What do you think's behind it, Marlowe?
I guess I got to go pick up a quarterback off the waiver wire if Rodgers doesn't play.
Yeah, well, there's not much there. I hope.
Might get Goff.
Too late.
He's already on Queer Street, courtesy of not understanding the concept of getting out of bounds down by 21 points. Mm-hmm. I still want to know what Pete Carroll was doing with the fake punt.
Well, did you see what the Rams did rushing the punter? They did the seas just parted. Half the team went left, half the team went right. It was open.
Left?
You don't owe it to some knuckleheaded team to punt the ball away to them.
You call the Rams knucklehead,
yes.
You're going to have to answer to it.
If you're making no attempt at all to rush the punter or to even tackle the punter on a fake, then you owe it. You've got nobody to complain to.
So what instruction would you give your punter?
Run it.
What?
Don't punt that ball away. Tuck it under.
I like to play tuck it under.
Tuck it. What?
Plowhawk, is there any way that you can look up, because I see that SportsCenter was covering the fake punt, just for those of you who weren't still locked in it with 5 minutes left, it was 24-3, the Sea Pigeons were punting, and they sent what looked to be like a 35-year-old man, the punter, up the middle for a fake punt, and to everyone's surprise, probably even the punters, he had about 50 yards of space to run. Uh-huh. And then started bobbling the ball as he got into Rams territory.
Gary Upremian style.
And then he was hit, and immediately his body went into Queer Street mode and just laid there motionless with the 21-point lead. Pete Carroll was talking about it, I think, and Richard Sherman was laughing about it so hard he retreated into his actual locker. So I want to hear what they were saying. If you can find any of that sound, damn it, Doug, I would enjoy it.
Yeah. They'll never fake another punt. Seattle won't. Got their guy hurt here right before the playoffs.
NFC West champions now.
I suppose you can pick up another. The Rams might give him Johnny Hecker. They don't know what they have in him. He's the best player they got.
Well, they know that. They always tout him.
I don't know that they know much of anything.
They have nothing else.
See, is Plowhawk, do you understand the charge you have been given?
Yeah, I'm looking now.
Nurse?
Plowsy? Where are you looking, Plowsy?
NFL.com.
Lousy.
Yeah, can you hear me? NFL.com, I'm looking.
Yes, but it's just like there's a delay or something.
Satellite. It's like when Wolf Blitzer's talking to Peter Arnett in Baghdad in 91. Mm. Except we're just trying to get to St. Charles.
Was Wolf Blitzer there that far, that long ago?
Might have been Bernard Shaw.
Bernard Shaw, Bernie, they called him. If you got to really know him, it was Bernie.
Yeah, I never got a chance to know him. We worked in Little Rock together, but briefly. Hey, Doug, you said to me, man, your skin's so soft. I love
didn't
it.
I say that.
And that's because of Harry's Razors, Jackie Papers. Harry's Razors. Well, here is the deal. For years, I've been using the same razor, and I get nicks and I get cuts, And then I hear tell that they have new technology and it's less expensive. Well, that's Harry's Razors, Jack. That's Harry's Razors is what that is. If you haven't heard of them before, Harry's was started by two best friends, Jeff and Andy, who were fed up with being overcharged for razors, so they started their own razor company to give people what they deserve, a great shave at a fair price. And this holiday, Harry's has ready-to-gift shave sets at all different price points starting at just $15. All come with a razor handle of your choice, shaving cream, replacement blades, and a travel cover. It's a special offer for fans of this show. We have partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off your order when you enter promo code INSIDESTL at checkout. How about that? So, free shipping ends today, so act now. Go to harrys.com right now to get a limited edition holiday shave set while supplies last. And don't forget to enter the promo code INSIDESTL at checkout for $5 off. That's harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com, promo code INSIDESTL. Also, something you want to talk about. You want to talk about knocking out Christmas shopping? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, holiday shopping with a couple clicks of the mouse. Do you use a mouse? I don't use a mouse. I use my little pincer.
Use a mouse.
I use my little pincer like so.
I have a mouse.
I hunt and peck. I use the hunt and peck.
Well, Leo, you don't have like a home computer, do you? Is it just the laptops you use?
Laptop.
Yeah, we have. We're blessed enough to also have a home.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's all. It's an e-machine. I don't even think they've made those in like 15 years.
I like
the e-machine. So Doug, you can't put your hands on your home row. You're like pincer on home.
Yeah, hunt and peck, hunt and peck.
Pincer on home button.
Yeah. So here's what you can do if you hunt and peck or if you use a mouse. You go get your Harry's Razors, harrys.com, promo code INSIDESTL, and then you go over to insidestl.com and you take a look at the most fashionable chapeau. Do you like that?
Yeah, hat.
That you can find. The TMA baseball
chapeau.
Hat.
Oh. Dunk on it.
Cap. It's a baseball
cap. It's not a bald cap.
Matt Holliday wants one for the holidays.
He does. Legitimately.
Isn't that funny? Matt Holliday wants one for the holidays.
It's not funny. It's sad.
Why? He's a fan of the show.
He's going to get a new Yankee hat or two. He won't need any more hats.
You can get it. We priced it at $25. I was then scolded by a gentleman with better business sense that it should have been $30. But you know what? It's $25. So there it is. It's $25.
All right.
And it kind of is like the Washington Nationals cap, but with TMA, to let everybody in St. Louis know, the 2% of the people who know what it means, that you listen to the best damn show on AM radio.
You think 2% would know what that means?
That might be high.
Yep, I think it would be.
And, Tim, the great thing about the cap is you can go flat bill or you can bend it and kind of scrunch it down the way old geezers like to wear their hats.
No, we don't wear flat bills.
I'll sometimes go flat bill, but I think at 40 I probably shouldn't. I usually wear it more like I got right now. House of Pain, Cypress Hill. They're the ones who did that. They did. They did.
What does flat bill say?
I don't remember
say?
That at all, House of
That's what the younger tags do.
The statement you're making with a flat bill is, I'm a real card. Boy, you don't know what I might do.
Well, what statement are you making by curving your bill?
Because that's a traditional look.
No, there's no statement made, okay? It's just younger people do it a certain style. They grew up with that, so to them that looks better and feels more natural. If you're a geezer, you always bent the bill, so that's more comfortable to us.
Sometimes the bill should be slightly bent.
You don't have to think just because someone likes it differently. They're like, look at me, I got a flat bill. You never know what's going to happen.
That's what they're saying. I'm a real card.
Boy. Oh, and I just heard tell. How about this for the holidays? Okay, now you got three clicks of the mouse, or if you hunt and peck, three clicks of your pincer.
Doug calls his mouse a gerbil, just so you know.
I didn't know that.
No, I know. It's Prince of Misinformation speaking.
So you get the Harry's Razors. That's one click of the hunt and peck. Okay, then you get the TMA hat, chapeau, ball cap, okay?
Yeah.
Get that, $25. Okay, I underpriced
it's
it. I don't know what I'm
10.
Doing. Or 20% off our shirts for the holidays. That's all there in the Inside STL store. I mean, Doug, you're knocking out shopping just by going Inside STL.
What shirts are on there, Tim?
Got those Lemming shirts, the collector's editions, i.e. the misprints that were
the one. Has a Major League Baseball ever proudly modeled it for a photo, one of those?
Ooh.
Matt Holliday, that's right.
Still time to get those items for Christmas?
Yeah, we made sure that they would be shipped in time for Christmas.
You deliver them?
I don't have to do manual labor.
Well, it'd be a nice gesture if you were just getting some sort of step fan. Take the shirts and distribute them.
What was the best-selling T-shirt? Is it your suspended, the Doug shirt?
Yeah. Yep.
By far? Or
actually, I guess if you go back to the beginning of this wonderful company, Doug, we'll be approaching our 12th birthday. that's about 37% of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's fun. That's a fun number.
That number's not that fun.
It's full of fun.
It isn't.
It's the Retire 51 shirt.
Really?
06, 07. Cardinals should retire that number. But I digress, 20% off in the Inside STL store, and the hats are $25. Hats for bats. It's funny, Pedro Serrano.
It's not that funny.
Some of these numbers just aren't that amusing. I mean, they're numbers, but to actually say that they're amusing or funny, I don't get a lot of what's going on here.
Hi.
Who are you saying hello to?
It's just a nice lady. I like her.
She's going into Hairtopia.
Yeah.
Which will be where our studio will be.
I think she's wearing the same kind of sweatpant that the fan page gave Plowsy.
And she's taking a book. Apparently she's going to be in there a long time.
It's going to get a little styling before the holidays. A lot of people do
exactly,
that.
Doug.
You ever take a book to the barber?
My haircuts are very brief these days.
Yeah.
Very brief.
Just a pamphlet would work.
Been
probably.
Brief for about 12 years ever since I stopped taking that Propecia. What a decision.
Someone must have put some Propecia on my shoulder blades.
Well, it's not a salve or ointment. It's a pill, Jack. So just by putting the pill on your shoulders, I don't think it would
sprout
hair.
It probably broke it up and rubbed it in on me.
Like snorted it like Matthew McConaughey in Wolf of Wall Street. I like that movie. You ever watch it?
No, just a few minutes here and there.
It's pretty good. You and John Vaughn are to watch over my house tonight.
Well, why would we do that?
Because that way, you know, because it might not be appropriate for Greg Vaughn.
Well, he's 21 himself.
Yeah, but this is for 22 and over.
Okay. Lady J has her hooks on me again tonight, fellas.
Why don't you get done with the sportscast and come up here and have a scotch? We'll talk it over. See how the sportscast went.
How late do you open? And when I ask that, I'm talking about Eastern time.
Yeah, with 2:30 Eastern. 2:30. Yeah, 1:30.
Okay.
Meet your boys here after your sportscast, and then you tell
hey,
them.
Hey, asshats, there's a two-time Stanley Cup champion on the line.
Oh, I didn't know, but let me just finish. Get a bottle of scotch. Leave the bottle. That's what you tell the server.
All right.
And then you drink with your boys. Let's talk to Scott Goldman.
He is on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Good morning, Scott.
That was a waste of my time right there. How's it going, guys?
I love you.
The whole show is a waste of time. Tragic waste of time. Well, what else would you be doing?
Well, I don't know. I'm not thinking about scotch at 9:30 in the morning, but...
See, he's on Eastern time, too, Doug.
Yeah,
everybody
absolutely
is.
Absolutely is. Yeah. It makes sense now. We've already got on his bad side. Oh, we're fine.
I apologize for Doug and the cat. They do know better.
Well,
exactly.
last time you told Scott he had to be happy with his minuscule amount of playing time, Doug, and you guys got sideways. Now we have him on and waste his time, so we're sideways right out of the gate. Yeah.
Right. I don't know which one's worse. Saying I'm getting tons of ice time with. I'm getting tons of ice time with 7 minutes of ice.
Tons of ice time with 7 minutes of ice.
I didn't say that.
No, that was it.
So what did you make of last night's game? The Devils jump out and the Blues had an answer, and obviously the Blues play much better when they're on their home ice.
Yeah, just something. Devils came out, thought maybe gonna get something going there. It looked pretty good, but I mean, San Luis is still tough, especially at home. I mean, the guys are going, being a part of the Blues, just knowing that rink, knowing the guys, how they prepare and everything there. It's a tough team. And right now, the Devils are definitely struggling, trying to find their identity or, you know, just the confidence is in there, and you can tell the difference. But it just shows where those teams are at right now, because San Luis, they're right in there.
Yeah, we don't know what to make of the Blues sometimes, though, either. They're so good at home. One of the best teams in the league at home, and a completely different team on the road. I know we beat that storyline to death, but it's a real thing. We're almost halfway through the season, and it continues to haunt them. What do you make of all that?
St. Louis got a veteran team, so you can't really say it's – I was hearing the other day that, being on the NHL Network, that was a subject why some team is great at home. And actually, I was talking to Adam Oates, and he made a great point that, you know, when you have a younger team or just the way it is, you're always going to play better at home because you're a lot tougher at home. Meaning, you know, when you're a young guy, when we used to play the Philadelphia Flyers, I was a different player at the Continental than I was when we went to Philly because it's just the atmosphere, the setting. I mean, your chest is more perked up when you're at home. So that's why a lot of the young teams are good. Sometimes you just it just happens that way. I mean, I know that our second cup, I don't think we were terrible on the road or at home. It's been so, I mean, we literally did not, it was almost a wash every time. every time, and it just happens. But you got to keep getting your points. Those are big wins, and the main thing is you got to take care of home, and that's what St. Louis is doing.
Scott, you're not alone in terms of us wasting your time. We waste Kelly Chase's time quite a bit. He comes on. He's a regular on the show. And yesterday he said something kind of interesting. He said he's not sure what the identity of this year's Blues team is, meaning that, you know, they let some of their guys go, so they're not the big heavy team, as he put it. On the other hand, he said they're not necessarily the fastest team in the league, and he can't figure them out. What would you say is the Blues identity from what you've seen?
Well, I think first and foremost, the depth. They know how to win. They got a great room in there with Steen, Stas, Brozniak, Bomeister. I mean, those guys, it's a great room. It's a great room. I just think, and I've said it before, and even being there, I think they should, it'd be nice to see them use their depth more. Like, you could really get a lot more out of that Brozniak line with Uppy and Revo. I mean, are they going to score for you night in, night out? No. Are they going to give up a goal here and there? Yeah. But you play with those guys more, you wear other teams down. I mean, Revo can hold the puck in the corner for a couple seconds. Uppy always skates around his head cut off. No, that was just my boy. But I just think they don't – it's kind of the same thing. It's a tease, and you almost feel like they're going to run out of gas. I mean, they know how to win. It's not that much to death, but you wonder when that gets later on in the year. I mean, those practices add up. Those – when you're only playing certain guys. I mean, I still, this day, get on Steiner and Stas about, you know, I know they can't physically do it, but if they cut their minutes down, man, that team could go to the finals. I mean, it's not good, but, you know, they're going to be right in there. Maybe you don't want to say people get bored with it, just the fact that they have been winning so much. I mean, that's what happens. You know, you try to find an identity, it doesn't really matter. Hey, they're winning. It's when the playoffs come that I think this team could go pretty far again, but even take it to the next step if everyone was included.
So you're saying sometimes it's a good thing to cut your minutes down and play not so much.
Oh, no, Doug.
This is where I was sharpshooting.
The athletes, too. No, it's not like when we first came in the league years ago where, yeah, you got guys playing 20-some-odd minutes a night in, night out. The athletes way different. Yeah. The game is beyond. The game is beyond the speed, the you know, the nutrition, the rest. I mean, guys don't go out anymore. I mean, they could say they do, but they not like the old Wild West. I mean, you know, they're fun times too, but in saying that, I mean, you look at some of these teams. I mean, San Jose last year, their fourth line played 11 minutes. That's you're in a hockey game when you play 11 minutes. I mean, being on both sides. I mean, hey, I played the 20 minutes, and at the end, I'm whoa, geez. But if you're not 11 minutes, you're not in the game. So if you're getting 8, 9, 10, it's nothing. And people would not understand that what the 11 minute mark would mean. You're into the game. You feel part of it. You're kind of getting a regular shift where. Everyone can skate now. It's not back when I first came in. I mean, yeah, your fourth line guys couldn't skate today in here in the game. It's just the way it is. And that's it's just the athletes way better. So insane. I mean, you look at Chicago. I mean, Chicago. I was just with Jordan Tutu last night at dinner or the other night. I mean, yeah, it's true what they say. They practice 20 minutes a day. I mean, rest is so key. And especially with a veteran team like St. Louis, where hey, they know how to win. They know how to. You're almost getting ready for the playoffs. That's the only goal of mine. That's how those Devils teams were. We're the big boys at the after Christmas started. You know, the Scotty Stevens, the Holeks, the Neves. They didn't have to practice as long. I mean, the young guys. We had to be out there. But I don't think people realize that. Like, you got to have your third and fourth line. And they got a great fourth line there with Brozniak, Company and Revo, you could take advantage of that, but you got to use them. Everyone's got to feel part of it, and I think that's sometimes what happens in St. Louis.
Everyone knows how good Tarasenko is. I think it's to the point now where he's on the ice, or if he has possession of the puck, he draws so much attention now. Other guys are so wide open. What is your take on how good he is right now and how good he can be?
You know, I always say that, like, that was one of the greatest things, getting to watch Tarasenko practice every day. I mean, this guy can – it's almost like he can score from anywhere with that shot. When I say anywhere, it's not just – I mean, he comes in from the blue line. The way the goaltenders are today and stuff, I mean, he could put one by him. He makes everyone better just being there, just being around him. But you know, I played in the East all those years, and when you came over, you didn't really, you know, I didn't know who really this kid was, but, oh, he's, at one point, I think he's the closest thing that, when Calvo Burry was doing his thing in Vancouver. Like, it was just, when he gets the puck, I mean, everyone's out of their seat. And even in practice, when in practice he was doing incredible things. He's a great kid. I mean, he's fun to be around. He loves the game, loves being around the guys, loves his family. He's a really good kid. That's first and foremost. So, but it's also a thing like, it's what happens. Where's this guy's potential if you kind of let the reins off him? I mean, yeah, is he going to mess up? Is he going to turn the puck over? Yes, he is. Patrick Kane does though too. But yet, Patrick Kane's still one of the best guys in our league. And saying that I don't think Patrick Kane has to worry about getting yelled at by the coach if he turns it over once or twice and get off his game because now he's mother effing the coach. But I think sometimes that happens with Tank. I mean, with I love to see them just kind of, hey, let him be, man. I mean, hey, okay, is he going to turn over? Is he going to make maybe a mistake here and there? So what? But the 7 scoring chances, he's going to get alone. And that's not even talking about the other guys on his line. He's that good. He's that good a player. I mean, I don't even know how to – he can, like I said, if the reins were off him a little bit, just let that guy go because we're talking – who knows? I'd love to see what he could do if he knew that he wasn't going to have to worry about other stuff.
Obviously, you played with Martin Brodeur for a while there in the New Jersey and won some cups, and he's now the assistant GM with the Blues. How would you rate him on the list of all-time greatest goalies ever? Is he there at the top?
No, he's up there. I mean, that's a different category itself. Just the fact that you know you let the goalies answer that one because I mean there you know there's been some greats and he's definitely up there.
All right, last thing before we let you go, are we back on track this show and you or were our questions okay to kind of bring you back into the fold or are we still terrible
that's
in
why
your
when
eyes?
When I wrote them down last night to your producer so you guys would know what to say. Yeah, you guys did a good job.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Thanks for the pat on the back. There,
thank you, Scott.
If you guys need me, write you any more questions, I'm here all week.
Yeah, that is helpful.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. That is helpful to have the guest write
the
questions
for us. We don't
read
that well, but we'll have someone tell us.
Right,
thank you, Scott.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Gomesy.
Scott Gomez with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Joining us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, anytime we're talking Blues hockey, we're talking Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Doug, why don't you come up here tonight and after your scotch, wash it down with a cold frosty one.
Have the scotch first and then the frosty.
Well, you got to wash it down.
I think they call that a chaser.
Kind of a chaser.
Beer chaser.
Yeah. You guys all be up here at 11 o'clock?
I don't know how I'll be feeling. If I'm going, I'm going.
A lot of times.
Well, that's true.
A lot of times I'll go where Tim's shooting it, and then he'll declare after-hours party at his house.
Yeah. Just declare that.
Yeah. And then there's going to be like 7,000 people there.
Right, and I'll say, hey, bitches, I ain't leaving until 6 in the morning.
Really? That's when I leave because I think it's dumb when he talks like that.
Now, you would wear flat-billed hats when you're talking like that,
right?
Right. Because what a flat bill hat says, hey, I'm a card. Boy, you never know what I might do.
That's correct. Mm. As a matter of fact, Anthony Reyes, after he started game one of the 2006 World Series, said, hey, I'm a card. And you know what? Justin Verlander had to agree.
Yeah. I'm liable to do just about anything with this flat bill hat.
Do you think there's other shows where the guests are openly hostile towards the show? We have a lot of them.
They make no bones about it. Listen, I don't like you. I haven't liked you in the past. Let's hurry up and do this. You're wasting my time.
And then even insinuate that they set questions for us to ask because we're so effing incompetent.
Right. Well, tired is as much as anything.
And dumb.
Yeah, I'm on about 3-4 hours sleep.
Are you really?
Yeah.
What the hell happened?
Well, I had to go to that charity thing last night.
Oh, and that
night.
Went until
back
like
about
2?
No, 11:30.
Okay, where'd the other hours go?
Well,
baby?
I couldn't
go?
Get right to sleep.
Well, you're a world-class sleeper.
I dreamed I was in a car wreck. I had a dream that I completely trashed my car, and I was hurt somehow, and I'm thinking, I don't want to be in a car wreck. Who wants the insurance to go up?
That's what you thought of.
That's what I'm dreaming about.
Insurance.
There goes my insurance payments.
Now, when you get up in the morning.
That's the dream I had, and that kept me up for a while.
Because you look fine. Do you get up, and I know you have an extensive regimen of salves and moisturizers that you apply. How long does that take you to get through that? Because you look like you.
Hour and a half.
But it's worth it because you don't look like a guy
I call it me time,
yeah.
Pamper time.
But that's why you don't look like you're a guy who's on, you know, 3 hours sleep.
I
look
am.
Fresh as a daisy.
You do, baby,
feel
you
like
do.
It. The salves.
Salve's and ointments. Yesterday, I got up about 4:45.
Nice.
I got to bed about midnight.
That's awesome.
12:30.
It's fun.
My time is short. I can't hold up on days like that.
But the beautiful thing is, by not getting enough sleep on a consistent basis, the nice thing is that you're also taking years off your life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
But it's for the ability to do this show.
That's what's ruining my life.
What?
How many years do you think this show is taking off our lives? Six. It's probably taking a year. For every year we do it, it probably takes a year off our life.
But it's worth it.
Well,
I believe it's minute for minute. Every minute we're on the air, 1 minute comes off our life. It's a simple equation.
Yeah, we'd be dead by now. Now, I look at a fellow like Dick Van Dyke. He's been in show business for years. He's like 91, 92 years old. He's still doing song and dance numbers. He never had to do a morning radio show.
He was a chimney sweep.
He certainly was, Bert.
And what's his net worth, Doug?
Oh, boy, probably $50 million.
I'm going to look that up. Why don't you guys talk about the booze or something?
Hold on.
Dick Van Dyke's net worth. I'm going to say $50 million.
What was his big earner then?
Murder, She Wrote.
Murder, She Wrote.
He had his own murder, show for a long time, wrote. The Dick Van Dyke Show.
Murder, She Wrote.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, hello.
Murder, She
Mary
Wrote.
Mary Poppins.
Name, I'm almost there, name a couple of more.
Well,
$30 million, Doug.
$30 million, yeah.
Hey, Tim, again, only been listening for a year and was wrong last time, but I think I have it this time. Doug's Lady J is code for that foine Taiwanese ladyboy down there at Compton and Merrimack. It's from the Imperial Impaler. Hmm. I always thought that meant you were doing TV, but this is some ladyboy you're banging.
Lady journalism.
Tim, here's an article on the Daily Mail UK.
It's the best source.
Dick Van Dyke, 86, marries his 40-year-old makeup artist, Arlene Silver.
Is that all he is, 86?
Well, this is back in 2012, so you do the math.
He's 90.
Yeah. But at 86, he married a 40-year-old makeup artist.
Oh, he's spry.
They must be in love.
I saw a story on him with Entertainment Tonight a couple months ago. He's up there living in Malibu, dancing and singing and just living the life. It looks like he's 50.
He's like in clubs, dancing and singing, or just around the
still
beach
perform,
area?
Still
proper.
Performs some places.
He does?
Yeah.
If you had $30 million, I'd shut her down.
Well, he's a song and dance man is what he is. He's not shutting it down. He
lives in Malibu. That's a nice place to live.
Yeah, yeah. You'd probably have to be worth $30 million to live in Malibu.
Let's move to Malibu.
We're not worth $30 million.
I'm kind of getting close.
The three of us together, if we pooled every penny we had, could not buy a house in Malibu. Mm-mm.
Maybe if there was a carport next door, you could get a good deal.
I don't think so.
I think that might help. Cal Kennedy just texted me. Doug, you know him from St. Gabriel's basketball?
Yeah, he fixes games for the grade school.
Wow. Thompson Coburn. He just said, I'll be out there for a slap around 4:30.
A slap?
What does that mean?
A taste.
He's going to get in a brawl.
Slap of the bar rag.
There hasn't been a brawl here yet.
Slap of the bar rag.
I've not heard that little
Well, come down to St. Gabriel's.
What does that mean? Just a drink? That's a slap of the bar rag?
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
A session. We talk it over. We figure it all out.
Okay.
We say it all.
So Cal will be here 4 Central?
4:30 Central. Okay. Oh, I wonder if he thinks he's going to get here at 3:30 because he said 4:30.
Oh, that's right. Well... They're pretty good with numbers there at St. Gabe's. I've seen them doctor the scoreboard, so they know how to play with the figures.
These are serious charges you're making, sir.
Yeah. Well, they were taking a team in there, the visiting club for that seventh grade.
Yeah, but it's the crowd noise. Yeah. I was talking to my buddy Joe Stats. He has a son on the seventh grade team. They are the favorites this year.
Oh, what a shock. What a shock. I'm surprised they even play the games anymore. They ought to just call the seventh grade boys in and said, here's your reward.
Does that
hand them all trophies.
Because I'm going to make my head coaching debut this Sunday with our team's first practice. And I got orange cones in my car. Just so you know that I mean business.
The cones, you think, are the key.
Yeah. And also paying off the officials.
First practice or first game?
First practice.
Shouldn't you be playing games by now?
I don't run the league, Doug. I'm just a cog in the wheel.
It's December.
Games start in January, Doug.
And these are second graders?
Yeah.
How's the club look?
Strong to quite strong.
Oh, yeah, it's like my portfolio.
Any of them long?
Yeah, we got good length.
Yeah, yeah.
See, my thing is, you know, sure, have fun and work hard. But anyone who doesn't pass my son the basketball is on the bench.
Good for you.
I would think
on
so.
On the bench. Is that wrong?
The real key to second grade basketball is winning. It's important that you win, whatever you have to do. And you must know as a coach, it's about you. It's not about the kids.
Now, you say these stories, and
it's about you.
I have no tykes at this moment. So you have experienced it. You were known as the Wizard of Crestwood. Is that
right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So you've seen this. Does this really go on? Are there coaches in second grade basketball that are really kind of into it?
No, it wasn't too bad at that level.
You but see, when fourth grade rolls
as
around.
As they get a little bit older, you begin to see a little
bit. We've seen a little.
And
the parents of the kids in my school that play in this league are all very chill. The kids all play different skill levels. They all get along, and no one's really – they want to win, but no one's overly concerned. You never hear a complaint from a parent, at least until I took over and say, pass the ball to my son.
Mm-hmm.
But the parents of some of the other teams are screaming and
on
the official –
second grade?
Yeah, a little not every team. Most are good, but there's one or two teams where the parents are all over the officials to the point where the league – had to send out an email saying, can we please try to respect the officials who are doing the
and
best.
And usually the officials are maybe sixth graders. It's really important to let that 12-year-old have it if he missed a traveling call on a second grader.
I
got to let him have it.
I umpired for about a week in South City, and it must – I mean, I wasn't even in high school, so I had to be in seventh or eighth grade. Was over at Lindenwood Park. Doug, you ever have any games St. Kitty's ever play at Lindenwood Park?
No,
it's kind of by Mom's Deli.
I don't believe so, no.
It's where I came from, baby. Mean streets. And I umpired a game there. And, you know, I mean, I'm doing my best. You're umpiring balls and strikes from behind the pitcher. Obviously, the pitcher's taller than me. It's second grade baseball.
Yeah.
And I hadn't hit this growth spurt yet. And I remember calling a ball a strike. And I remember one of the parents going, it's okay, Johnny. The umpire has a date to get to, don't you? And I'm going, oh, I'm 12.
It just shows a lot of class to really rip the young umpire.
The worst thing, if you're an official in like a college intramural where there's not really any, there's no reins on anything. So when I would do it, I would just tell both teams, hey, I'm making $35 for this. I think that's what I made, maybe 25. I don't care who wins, and I'm going to do the best I can. It's not really my profession. So here's my rule. The first person that even looks at me after a call, I'm going to throw out of the game. And if you look at me, please don't ever say anything. I'm doing my best. I will try. I'll run up and down the field to stay on top of the play. But the first person that looks at me, I'm throwing out of the game. And I had to throw two guys out for looking at me.
Oh, you can't throw them out just for looking at you.
It's gangster, man. It's gangster.
I did. And then, you know what? After that, there was never a problem. I got most right, some wrong, but I tried.
Huge development here. Cal Kennedy, Doug, he's a St. Gabriel official. He's going to be up here for a slap at 4:30.
Fixes grade school games.
That's a serious, serious charge that I had to distance myself from. And I imagine KMOV won't have distanced themselves from it
might.
As well.
Yeah.
We had a fourth grade girls coach tell Fungo he was terrible in a game Saturday. He had to be reprimanded by the St. Gabriel Athletic Association president. It's out of control. By the way, I believe he's a member of the fan page also.
Well, that last part doesn't surprise me. We saw the one picture of Fungo officiating a game leaning against a pad on the wall. Clearly the outcome had already been determined, so why would a referee run up and down the court to try to keep up with it?
He was gassed.
He was leaning against the pad on the wall.
Are you calling into the training program at St. Gabriel's for the officials? Are you saying these aren't athletes in the best shape of their lives?
Well, I don't know. Without him, you don't have a game. That's
thank you.
Sure.
Good for you. Where's the mother? There it is. Guys, I have two third-grade girls who just started a league last week. The other coach was yelling at her kids so much you wouldn't think that they were terrible. They beat us 46-2.
Ouch.
What was the spread on that?
I think it was about 43 points.
Ooh, they covered. Mm-hmm. Always take care of the alumni. Hey, Tim. I used to umpire at BC Baseball in Columbia. R.I.P. Steve Reller. I had to stop a fight between the plate ump and player's mom for 12-year-old baseball. That comes from Peter Dinklage's third leg.
Usually the people that scream the most are the ones that have no clue what's going on.
Probably didn't a lot of posts on Tiger Board.
Didn't play at any level. Just totally have no way to keep it in perspective. Because if you really knew what was going on, you would know better not to yell and scream at little officials and young kids, right?
I wonder what the commonalities and the psychology of someone who – the people who do that is. What do you think?
Oh, I know what that is. That's someone who never achieved at the level they had hoped to as an athlete back in the day. Mm-hmm. So their kid will bring them redemption. And any threat to that redemption, meaning an official that sees a call differently than they do, is a threat, and that's how it works.
Sounds like you have a master's thesis on this.
It's one thing for a coach or a parent to be very vocal, cheering for the kid.
Yeah.
You know, wanting them to do well. Because sometimes.
Because you would hold out a dollar bill for Greg
Vaughn. Here's your reward. Sure, I did that. But sometimes people will get upset with that if you just have a coach that's yelling, hustle, come on, let's get back, come on, we got to go. And his parents will say, why are you yelling at the kids? Well, you're not really yelling there. You do have to talk above the crowd as a coach so you can be heard.
But I think you're encouraging. Like, even if, like, a kid makes a nice play in soccer, nice try, you know,
good
great
ball.
Effort.
Good ball.
Whatever. It doesn't have to lead to a basket or a goal. It can still be a good play.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I got when I was an assistant coach in basketball, and I was so good that they elevated me to head coach.
Oh, like Luke Walton.
Hands up on D.
That's all you had.
Block
the baseline. Can you get that? Block the baseline.
Look, I came up with some new repertoire.
All right.
But all I had then was hands up on defense. Good hustle.
Yeah, that's good.
Hey, Tim, Canton Kirkwood Brewhouse Accommodate 14, the first week in February. I'd like to have you stop by to show people how important I am. I'd also like some Cobb's appetizers. Thanks, Danny Tanner.
Think you can make that happen, right? Because you are, as I understand it, you're encouraging people to email you or call you directly if they need reservations here.
We don't take reservations, but yes.
Well, that's what you say. That's what you say to the non-cools. We don't take reservations. But, I mean, if they know you or think they do, you'll take the reservation.
Mm-hmm. Cal Kennedy's going to have a spot because he's going to have a slap of the bar rag. Doug, we got a break. It's the 9 o'clock hour approaching. We have Picks of the Week, Cuts of the Week by Bertarelli Cutlery, Picks of the Week by Wheelhouse, and our email today. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.